Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you all this morning here on this Easter Sunday. I see, as I look out in the congregation, friends, old and new, folks who have been a part of this congregation and this church's story for many generations, and so grateful and thankful that you are here. I see new friends who are here for the very first time. I see people who are here just because we had breakfast this morning, and that's an okay thing, too. I'm glad that you're here. You can know as well that there's a breakfast that happens at 11 o'clock. I've been given a little time to speak, and so we are going to start breakfast again at 11 o'clock until 12. Those of you who have eaten already, be a little kind to those folks who have not yet eaten. But we're glad that you all are here. Whatever reason brought you here, however you came here, whatever spirit it is that drew you to this place, we are grateful and thankful that you are here. And we know that God brought you here for a reason. There's something that God is going to do in our midst that's going to touch your life. And so we pray that as you experience worship, as you connect with others in fellowship, as you enjoy the breakfast, as you come and bask in the glorious sunshine of Seattle that we get all the time here, that you might know that God is doing something miraculous in your midst. And so we're grateful and thankful that you all are here this morning. As we are celebrating Easter in the month of April, a little bit late this year, I was thinking about a saying that came to mind as thinking a little bit about that. I'm getting feedback. I'm not sure from which microphone. I have my headset on, so maybe if you can turn this microphone off. Ron's going to put up a saying that that I was thinking about in this special time that we're in, and that is a saying from Ben Franklin. Many of you know, of course, this is probably one of the most oft-quoted and well-known sayings. There's only a few things that are certain in life, and that is death and taxes. You can know that you were given a reprieve because April 15th fell on Saturday this year, and not only do you get a reprieve because of that, you also get a reprieve because Easter is on Sunday, so you have to turn in your taxes until the 18th, which is Tuesday. So if you're not done, you still have a little bit of time to go. But what struck me about that passage was, in thinking a little bit about it, I wish I could tell you that it was because I was preparing my taxes, but actually you can thank my wife for that. I'm not in jail because of her. But there's only a few things certain in life, and that is death and taxes. And yet, as I was thinking about it, the thing that is so apparent to me is that we live in times and seasons where it seems like there are many things around us that are certain, things that are inevitable about this life that we have just come to live with, that we have come to experience. It's a part of who we are, and we can't imagine our lives without them. So here's a list of some of the things that I thought of, ways that we might think about this life that we live in, and some of the challenges and the struggles that we face in this life. We realize that these are things that are not pleasant for us to think about. They're not things that bring us great joy on this Easter celebration, but we think of them as things that are a part of this everyday life and can't imagine ourselves without them because they are so much a part of the living of these days. And as I look at this and as I listed those things, I thought to myself, it is so easy for us to be filled with great cynicism, feelings of fear and anxiety, because we know that these are a part of our everyday living, and we struggle to understand how we're ever going to get beyond these things. These are a part of our lives. Are we having to settle for this life and these things? Are these things certain in this life? Are they inevitable in the days that we are living in this life? And then I remember the story of the two Marys going to the tomb. They went with the same feeling of cynicism and doubt and fear because their friend, their Lord and their Savior Jesus had been battered and bruised and crucified and placed in a stone cold tomb. And so when they went there, they thought they were going to find that which is certain, that they would find their friend dead in this tomb. And when they went to the tomb and looked and peered inside, what they came to find is those things that might feel like they are certain in this life, they are not. And as much as it might feel like they are inevitable, they are not. Because as they peered into the tomb, they came to discover that Christ was risen indeed. And in that, their hopes were resurrected as well. That they came to believe in that moment that though they had come to a place where they thought of death as a certainty, that they thought of their Lord and Savior as gone from their presence, and that that was an inevitability, that at the same time as they peered into the tomb and looked and saw that Christ was not there, that their hopes were resurrected as well, and they came to believe in the impossible. They believed in that which would be improbable. The thing that they had come to experience and think about as certain was no more. And it was because the Spirit of the resurrected Christ came into that moment and allowed them to experience this gift of resurrection. And so they came to believe in the impossible. They came to believe in the improbable. They came to see that somehow God had the ability to overcome even that which seems so certain in this life. And so when we look at these things and think about them in the context of that scripture passage, we are mindful of that same spirit. And we wonder, is that resurrection spirit alive amongst us so much so that we might believe even these things as much as they are a part of the life that we are living, as much as we might think that they are an immovable part of who we are in these days? Is it possible that somehow we might be able to overcome these horrible things that we live with and have come to know in this life? And so my prayer this day as we come to this place is that we might experience that same spirit that the two Marys experienced when they went to the tomb, that the things that feel most certain need not be so. And though they might feel inevitable, Christ gives to us a spirit of hope that says even the things that you have come to expect in this daily life, they can be overcome as well by the power of the resurrection that is known in you and among you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at those, we are mindful that there are ways that we might say, wow, Reverend Derek, that's a really tough sell. I look at these things and I see that they're a part of this everyday life. Can the resurrection really speak to these things? Is there a possibility that we might be able to believe so much in the power of God's love and God's presence in this world that we might be able to see somehow that even these things can be overcome? I believe that that is what the promise of the scripture passage is bringing to us. That our hopes can be resurrected, that we might feel a sense of possibility, even in what seems to be an impossible set of circumstances. Because if God can overcome death, God can overcome anything. And as we look at these things, we realize that this is where our hopes are restored once more. This is where we come to believe once more in the power of God in this life, that somehow that we might believe that in the midst of all of the things that afflict us in this world, that God might come and intersect God's self into our lives and history and bring about God's ends and God's means and God's purposes and God's plans in the midst of all that we are experiencing in this life. And so we come this day to have that promise restored in us. We come this day to want to believe once again that we can experience that resurrection in this life. But we know if we are going to experience those things, we might read the scripture reading and feel the power of its movement. But we know it isn't going to be an easy or a magical or a simple thing for us to be able to say that God's resurrection power will work in a miraculous way. And all we need do is observe it. What we have come to experience this day as well is the spirit of the resurrected Christ inside of each one of us. And when we experience that, we know that we are being called to offer that resurrection spirit to the world. That it would be each one of us and who we are and where we live and what we do that would bring God's resurrection spirit into that moment. And in that, we have the power to change the world. When we think about it in those terms, we think, wow, Reverend Derek, that's a huge, huge dream that you have, that somehow we in our own simple lives have the power to change this world. But that is the power of the resurrection story amongst us, that we might know through our commitment and through our sacrifice, through our hard work and our continued belief that God is working, even when we cannot see God's presence, in the midst of the afflictions that we face each and every day, wondering if God is still there, that we might have our hopes restored in that and come to believe that God has given us this vision and the power of that resurrected spirit inside of each one of us so that we may bring about the transformation that God desires for this world. We realize that it isn't going to be easy. There is much work yet for us to do, but what we realize is that when the resurrection spirit overtakes us, we realize that sometimes in the simplest acts, and in the smallest corner of our world, we have the ability to change that world when we allow that resurrection spirit to move in us and through us. It is not impossible. It is not improbable. It is not inevitable that we live with all of these things because we know that the resurrected Christ comes to give us a different message, a message of hope and promise. God consistently brings us into what the Bible refers to as kairos moments. Moments of truth, places where God's pregnant possibilities of God are being made known in that moment. And we have those moments all the time. God continually invites us into those kairos moments, and the question for us is, will we say yes? Now, as I'm describing it this way, you may be thinking about those people who have transformed our lives in this world. You're thinking about people like Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu and Martin Luther King and Mother Teresa, and saying to yourself, I'm not that person. I'm just a simple individual who lives a simple life in a small corner of this world. But I want to tell you that each and every one of them, they were ordinary people put into extraordinary circumstances. And every time they said yes to God's kairos moment, God continued to carve out a new pathway that allowed them to use their gifts and their strength and their vision and their talents to be able to bring about the kinds of changes that God would see in this world. And I believe that God has placed that same power inside of each and every one of us. God gives to us those kairos moments, those moments of truth where God says, choose the light rather than the darkness. Choose to be hopeful rather than to be in despair. Choose God's resurrection, power made known in Jesus Christ. And when you choose that, you know that you have the power to change this world. And when we think about people like that that I'm describing, I believe that you all are in that same lineage. You are a part of that same tradition, that you all have the spirit of the resurrected Christ inside of each one of you. And in that, you have the power to change the world through every act of justice and kindness and compassion. Every time you are given an opportunity to act with love for another person, you are helping to change this world. Every time you say no to racism and poverty and injustice, you are helping to change this world, and you are carving a new path through which God's presence and power will be made known in our midst. But it's going to take each and every one of us. It's going to take commitment and sacrifice that comes through our every action. And when we can do that, we will come to discover that new life is about to begin and that God is going to do miracles amongst us when we discover the death of that which we feel is inevitable and come to experience instead a resurrection that helps us to know that new life is possible amongst us. God would take that which is ordinary and make miracles in that through each one of us. And my prayer this day is that we would breathe in that resurrection spirit and then go forth into the world to offer that resurrection spirit to another. It might be in a very simple way in your workplaces or with your friends or your family. It may be in times that you are in service in the community, that you're engaging in conversation with another that's so very serious, but talking about ways that we might build unity in our community, that when we are able to have those conversations, when we act after that spirit, then we can know truly that God is working through us in those moments, and God has the power to change the world through each one of us. I close with a story that was shared with us last Sunday, a story historic in nature, but one that we were reminded about this last Sunday. Last Sunday, we gathered together for a workshop about a Lithuanian diplomat from Japan named Tune Sugihara, a person that is not well known to many people, but someone who is a very influential part of helping to save Lithuanian Jews during World War II. We hear about Oscar Schindler and have seen movies about this. This is, in many ways, the Japanese Schindler. He was a man who thought of himself as a very ordinary person, someone who just went to Lithuania to do the work that had been called to do. But during World War II, found himself in a desperate situation where the Nazis were invading. And they came to the place where they recognized that they were going to have to do something. And so Lithuanian Jews began to search for ways to get out of the country because they knew that their lives were in danger. They went everywhere. They did everything to try to find ways to get out of the country, but continued to find themselves blocked. And then they found Tune Sugihara. They went to him and asked for him to begin to write exit visas for these Lithuanian Jews so that they might find a way to freedom. He asked the government of Japan if he can begin to write these exit visas, and they told him, no, you cannot. And he held himself in bay for a while, but then he began to see the faces of these Lithuanian Jews who knew that he was their only hope. And he continued at his doorstep, continued to ask for him to write these exit visas. And finally, he began to think to his heart and his mind, I know I'm not an extraordinary person, but I have the power of a pen and a stamp that would allow people to find freedom in their lives. And so he began to write exit visas, even though the government of Japan told him not to do them. He did them sometimes 18 hours a day. And he was able to save 6,000 Lithuanian Jews. A simple man with a simple task who knew that the most important thing for him was to do right, even though it might get him in trouble, and it eventually did get him in trouble later on after the war was over. And yet he knew that he had to do right. And so he continued to sign the exit visas as long as he could. And there's a story about when he was being taken away from his job. He's on the train, and he begins to just sign pieces of paper and throw them out of the train so that people can pick them up and use them to get an exit visa that would allow them to leave the country and to save their lives. There was some research done on this, and they came to the realization that he had saved 6,000 people. But from those 6,000 people in total, he saved 40,000 people who were the descendants of those persons that he saved. A simple man with a simple task put in an extraordinary circumstances, and having said just yes, I'm going to do that which is right. And in doing that which is right, he changed the very face of all of these persons' stories and really changed the face as well of the contours and landscapes of this life that we live, that someone could, in the face of persecution, do right even still. As we think of that as an example, where you sit, where you are, you might think to yourself, I don't have that kind of opportunity. But every time you're able to offer a word of kindness and compassion, every time you go to help somebody in need, every time you find yourself standing up in solidarity with another person who is facing persecution in their life, you are doing the very same thing. And not only are you affecting their lives, you're affecting the lives of their children and their grandchildren, because you show a light that gives them hope and makes them believe once again that the life that they can live is one that can experience the fullness of the freedom and joy that this life has to offer. And so, people of God, this day, as we experience the fullness of that resurrection story, let us give thanks for the hope and promise that it gives to us. And let us give thanks for the ways that it inspires us, because it tells us that we do have the power to change this world. And all of the things that you saw on that list, those things are not certain. They're not inevitable. When we stand up and say that they are not going to be a part of the life that we are living today, that we can know that that is the beginning of the transformation of this world. And my prayer this day is that we would leave this sanctuary and carry that spirit into the world. And when we do so, we can know that the resurrected Christ is working in us and through us and bringing life to a hurting and broken world. On this Easter Sunday, let us give thanks for the gift of this resurrected spirit that we experience here in the sanctuary. But let us give thanks as well for the power it places inside of us to go out of this sanctuary to carry this light and hope to a hurting and broken world. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we know that there is so much in this life that causes us great pain and affliction. There's so much in this life that feels so certain. And yet you remind us this day as you instruct us once again and move us through the story of the two Marys who would go to the tomb and look inside and come to discover that that which they thought was inevitable, that which they thought was certain, you came to help them to see, O God, that your promises continue to be made known even in that circumstance, and that your hopeful possibilities are being made known by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a symbol of your love, as the measure of your power, you come to remind us once again that even the things that we think are most certain in this life, that we can come to the place where we would experience once again a hopeful spirit that tells us that your transformation is in the works and moving now in and through us in this world. And so we pray, O God, that you would bless and be with us in this. Inspire us this day, O God. Help us to find that very place where we can speak to this truth. And when we speak to this truth, we can know that the reign of God is continuing to merge amongst us. And we would discover, O God, that your promises are being made known here and now. And the things that we have come to expect as certain, they will be vanquished and overcome, because you will bring forth your plans and purposes in us and through us for all creation. We thank you, O God, for this Easter message, and we thank you for the inspiration that comes by the power of your Holy Spirit made known in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we experience that once again, we pray, O God, that you would move us forward into this life to carry that spirit to all that we encounter in these days. We pray these things, O God, to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.